Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, June 5th, 2022. I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and as always, I'm joined by the anointed family of servant leaders here at Spirit Alive in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Minister Gladys McGee, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Evangelist Michelle Scott. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service. We pray that you will hear something that will uplift your spirit and truly bless your soul. Now, at this time, I am going to ask Pastor Vanessa Carver to please come forth and open us in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Apostle Cook, I thank you, Lord, today for this time. Thank you, Lord, today that your presence is with us and within us. And we thank you, Lord, today that we have ears to hear, that things will be penetrated in our hearts, that we're receptive to the word of God. Not the person that's speaking it, but to the word of God. I pray, Lord, for whoever is delivering the word, that you strengthen them, that you enlighten us through them, that you speak a special word to us through them that we can carry throughout this week. I thank you for the strength of numbers. I thank you for the strength of unity. I thank you for what it represents. And Father God, help us to know that this in itself is an impartation. This in itself is bringing glory to you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your love is shed abroad in our hearts based on what we're doing today, and for all those who are listening, that their ears be blessed, their eyes be open, Lord, and their heart be receptive to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Brother Travis would like to say something this Sunday. Let's give him a hand as he comes. Thank you.
If I can have your attention, don't mean to waste your time. I like to tell a little story, how I was lost and couldn't find my way.
Tell you story.
But then I met Jesus, yes, and something started to change. I ain't proud of the past, I'm proud of the fact that I'm not who I was now.
I am different. Every part of me,
the whole me,
has been touched by freedom.
Up the county line. Yeah, I came up in the struggle, and on the streets I had to fight my way. But that was just a chapter. No, it was not the end. I ain't proud of the past, but I'm proud of the fact that I'm not who I was now.
Travis and John for stopping by the service this evening. We'll be serving plate dinners in the back. Come and get you some red Kool-Aid, because you know you've been changed. Hallelujah. Come on. See, since it feels real good right now, and I want to talk to you a little bit more. I'm not finished with you. Talk to me. Let's go. I used to fall asleep in Sunday school, sing in the choir so I could sit right next to you. Yeah, puppy love, and I say I forget your name, cause after time, memories, they fade away. But still today, I can never let it go. That Sunday morning when I met the Holy Ghost, oh my mama, church boy, now never be the same. Jesus paid it all and told me I could keep the change. Pull up.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you got a hold on me. Glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. Each and every Sunday morning, we ask the beloved mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of our church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning and praise God. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or far you are. The meditational reading is entitled, God Favors You Because He Loves You. We'll be looking at 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loves us, it reads. Now, have you ever found yourself receiving such exceeding favor that you wonder why? My friend, it is because God is lavishing his grace, unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor on you. And he does it because he loves you. I love reading the Old Testament story of Ruth, a young Moabite widow, because it speaks of God's amazing grace. The moment Ruth depended on God's grace or favor, she had full access to his blessings. Of all the fields in Bethlehem, his grace led her to the field that belonged to Boaz, who was not only a wealthy bachelor, but also a relative of her father-in-law. Ruth, you can read that in Ruth 2, verse 3. Boaz was therefore her potential kinsman redeemer, someone who could redeem her from her plight as a poor and childless widow. Boaz favored Ruth from the moment he laid eyes on her. Ruth was not even Jewish, yet he cared for her safety by telling her not to glean in another field and to stay close to his young women. He even commanded the young men working for him not to touch her and to allow her to drink the water which they had drawn. During mealtime, he set her beside the reapers, although she was just a lowly gleaner who picked up what they had been missed or dropped. On top of that, he gave her parched grain, making sure she ate and was satisfied and that she had leftovers to bring back to her mother-in-law. You can read that in Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. Ruth simply believed that she would find favor in the field, and God placed her at the right place at the right time so that he could open a big door of blessings for her. Do you know that Boaz is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus? The Bible says that he first loved us. Jesus saw you and loved you first, long before you knew him or loved him. And he favors whom he loves. Love, there is no need to fight or strive to qualify for God's favor and blessing. His favor is all over you because he first loved you. Just trust in his love for you, and you will see his favor bringing an abundance of blessings into your life. May the Lord have blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. The thoughts for the day, God is lavishing his grace, unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor on you, on us, because he loves us. Amen. And glory to God.
Does anybody want the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
just sing it. Come on.
Take me over again. Take me over.
Hallelujah. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when the family and I, we come together on one accord with one heart set, one mindset. Hallelujah. Standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over the world. Because
yes.
When we pray expecting God to do exactly what he says he will do. And when we pray trusting God's answers and obeying with a heart filled with gladness, because we truly believe that God knows what's best for us. So right now I'm going to ask that you stop whatever you're doing and place your focus on King Jesus as we go to his throne of grace in agreement with Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. And thank you, Apostle Cook. God bless you this morning and everyone that is listening in. Let us go into prayer with our hearts and heads bowed. Father God, we come to you this morning. We always come to you with thanksgiving because we are thanking you for all that you do for us, your children. We thank you this morning for prayers that are being answered. We thank you, Lord, for making a difference, hallelujah, in so many areas. We thank you. We thank you for your hand of protection upon us. We thank you for your saving power this morning, your healing power, your keeping power. We thank you, Lord, for how you're raising up leaders in our ministries and our churches. And we thank you for the safety of our children. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for answered prayer in these areas. We thank you for the security that's being made available for our schools. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your hand of protection, hallelujah, being upon your people. We also pray, Lord, for our unsaved loved ones everywhere, praying, Lord, that you would move, that you would touch, hallelujah, that you would send those, Lord, that will make a difference. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our shut-ins everywhere, those that are yet in bondage. We pray, Lord, that you will free them. They will have the opportunity to really live for you, to know you, to accept you in their hearts, Lord, and to have a relationship with you, God, that will make a difference, hallelujah, in them and their families and those that are around them. Lord, we lift up the entire nation, the world crisis situations, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in the name of Jesus. Also in the political arena as well, that you would save in the name of Jesus, that you would raise up leaders in the political arena, Lord, that will make a difference, that will want to make a difference,
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Cause them to have a change of heart. Hallelujah. We speak salvation in the name of Jesus. There is nothing too hard for you. So we lift them up everywhere in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, protect our unborn children, babies, everywhere in the name of Jesus. Protect our children everywhere in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, in their homes, in their schools, and wherever they are sent, their churches even. Hallelujah. Child care centers. We ask, Lord, that you would move in those areas. Even in those areas, our children are being abused. So we ask, Lord, that you would make a difference in Jesus' name, that our children will be watched over more carefully in the name of Jesus, that it won't be just taken for granted. Hallelujah. That everyone that they're left with is a safe person. Oh, God. We pray for them in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we trust you, hallelujah, with our own own lives, with our own children. We trust in you today, hallelujah, that you will take care of them, that you will watch over them, that you will protect them, hallelujah. Dispatch your warring angels in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, to protect them in the name of Jesus, wherever they are, wherever they might go.
Yes, Lord.
And we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what we have seen you do. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and we know that you're continuing to move in our behalf in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray that you will continue to bless in our Spirit Alive ministry, our leader, Apostle Shirlene Cook. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And each
thank
and every
you,
ministry. And church that is represented on this
Lord,
program. We pray for those that are listening in this morning, hallelujah, that they will receive what they need on this day, hallelujah, that someone will accept you, hallelujah, in the pardoning of
your
sins this morning, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bless the hearers. Not to just be hearers, but also doers of your holy word. In the name of Jesus, that it will make a difference, a great difference in this world. And we just thank you. Move in our communities and all across the nation, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless us in doing what you have given us to do, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to fulfill, hallelujah, every purpose, every task that you have set before
Jesus.
Us, God, in Jesus' name. Strengthen us and help us in Jesus' name. And we just praise you this morning. We thank you. If there's any sick among us, hallelujah, we pray, Lord, that they will be healed.
Touch
we pray that
Jesus.
You would touch
my
them
sister.
Right now
hallelujah.
In the mighty name
yes.
of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, that whatever the situation is, hallelujah, they will receive your healing In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. That was all right there. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, it's coming. Don't worry. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
It just got a long list. Thank you, Jesus.
One, two, three.
Come on,
bless me.
Bless me, bless me, bless me, guide me. Bless the thing that he did is a victory. Bless me, bless me, God, not just for me, but so everyone around me can have everything they need. Let all these folks that see me, God, have everything they need. Bless me, bless me, bless me, guide me.
Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. the book of Luke chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 19. This is a very familiar passage in the Bible, but I pray with the Lord's help that I will bring something new and refreshing to you today. Acts 9, chapter, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 19. If you are listening via your computers, you can simply go to BibleGateway.com and type in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. And the Word of God reads as follows. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? I think he already knew. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard thy many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, giving you all honor, glory, and praise. Now, I ask that, Lord God, that I completely decrease so that you might increase, Father God, and have your way. Lord, use me this day, hallelujah, to lift you up so that you might draw all men into yourself by the power of your Holy Spirit, who is the convictor of sin. And, Lord, I just pray right now, if somebody does not know you in the pardon of their sin, that today would be the day that they would come and make you their Lord, their Master, and their Savior. And yes. I pray it all in your mighty, precious, righteous, holy name. Amen and amen. Now, thanks to God, I've been blessed to do prison ministry for over 30 years now. And I'm pretty sure that every one of us knows of someone who has been arrested. So today I want to talk about being arrested by the love of God.
You see, the Apostle Paul refers to his first encounter with Jesus as an arrest or as being apprehended by Jesus. In Philippians 3:12, Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, this word apprehended appears only in the King James Version, and it literally means to seize or take hold of. Paul says, "I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me."
Yes.
Now, although it can be debatable, one can see the irony of Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. You see, Saul himself was going there to apprehend or lay his hands upon Christians. See, he was going to take hold of them and drag them off to jail. However, Christ apprehended him. Jesus got a hold of Saul's life, and he never let him go. And Jesus wants to get a hold of our lives as well. And that is what I'm going to talk about today. You see, God wants to really put a stop to our old ways of living so that we might truly experience his restoration and know the abundance of his love.
Yes.
So how did God go about changing Saul's direction in life, and how does that relate to us? Well, now we're going to look at several stages that God used to bring about this transformation in the life of Saul. These stages may or may not be identical to our lives, but we can learn more about God's love by seeing just how far he's willing to go to reach a lost people. Well, the first stage was Saul was busted. Acts 9:3 declares, "As he neared Damascus on the journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?'" You see, Saul was busted by the Lord for heading down the wrong road. He had been fighting against God's will, just like his teacher Gamaliel had warned against in Acts 5:38-39. He told him straight up, "Leave these men alone." He said, "If this is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." Well, as we can see, Saul did not listen very well, and on his way to Damascus found that he had indeed been fighting against the Lord. You see, Saul thought he was doing something great for God. Oh, but Jesus brought him up short and gave him a true reality check. Not only had he not been helping the God of Israel, but he had been persecuting his Messiah, Jesus. Now, it's very interesting how Jesus phrases his words to Saul. He asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" Now, this may sound kind of strange unless you look back to what Jesus said in Matthew 25:40. He said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So you see, Jesus linked the treatment of even the lowest of his brothers with the personal treatment of himself. Hallelujah. Do you remember when you were busted by the Lord? And we need to remember that he uses different ways for different folks. You see, some of us are overcome by the guilt of our sinful lifestyle, and then we call on the Lord asking him to save us from the destruction that we are headed towards. Then others of us have to smash into a brick wall over and over again before they can see the light and call on the Lord for help, because rarely do people call on God when things are going well in their lives.
most of the time, they usually have to get so low that they have no choice but to look up in order to see that they're at the bottom. Then they realize that doing things their own way will never work out too well. Because all I know is that God only accepts those with a humble heart. So,
amen.
If it takes several hard knocks in life to produce humility, then some of us need to let the hard knocks begin. You see, Saul saw the light, and he was busted for fighting against Jesus and resisting his grace. Now, even though due process would normally require time for charges in an arrest to be officially brought against the defendant, God's court is always right, and it is always just. So I would like to describe the next step as Saul's arraignment. See, Acts 9 and 5 says, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Wait a minute. Did y'all catch that? He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Now, think, an arraignment generally takes place in a courtroom before a judge. The charges are brought against the defendant, and he or she must plead guilty or not guilty. Now, if we believe Jesus when he said that the way we treat others is the way we treat him, then Saul would have been charged with murder and divine assault. Now, Saul may have never killed anyone personally himself, but we know that he was standing by approving or consenting to Stephen's death. If he was part of the Sanhedrin, then he would have made up one of the votes required to sentence any Christian to death or prison. In Acts 26, 9 and 10, Paul says, "I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." So, when Jesus indicted Saul on multiple counts of divine assault through persecuting Jesus by persecuting Christians, Saul begins to realize how far he has missed the mark of God. Saul realizes that he is indeed guilty of the death of Jesus, since he cast his vote against many believers who were consequently put to death. Saul was busted.
Glory to God.
Then he was arraigned. Oh, now let's get on down to the trial, shall we? There really is no separate trial in Saul's case. You see, because the court of heaven has already found him guilty on all counts. In our legal system, we have what we call due process to avoid hasty and unjust punishment. However, since the court of heaven has all the details recorded already, a just verdict is quickly reached. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and have all fallen short of a standard that would enable us to live in God's presence.
Yes, Lord.
If we, as a sinful people, were to stand in the presence of the Holy God, his glory would consume us. We would not be able to approach him because the power of his holiness would destroy us. We cannot come up against that, all of that power and all that brilliance. So just as Saul was found guilty of the Lord, there is a sense in which we all share in that guilt. It is our sin that put Jesus on that old rugged cross. And I need for you to know today that he would have gone to that cross even if you or I were the only one who needed his forgiveness. However, we have all sinned, and we all need forgiveness. Now, we may have never killed anyone or done anything that seems terribly wrong. However, we are already guilty because we have inherited the sin of the guilt of Adam. It is only when we turn to the Lord that our guilt is taken away. Until we call on the Lord, we are in the same place Saul was in, guilty of the death of Jesus. When we remain in our sin, we constantly and consistently crucify Christ all over again.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, what was the punishment for most murderers in biblical times? Well, it varied from culture to culture. But I don't care what culture you were in, it was almost always considered one of the worst offenses possible. So here Saul stands. He was busted, arraigned, tried, and now he's convicted. You see, Saul knew that he was guilty. And in that moment, his heart was convicted by every word that Jesus, the Logos, spoke. You see, in that moment, Saul accepted the truth. And his heart was arrested by the love of God because he knew that he had sinned and he was falling short before God. He had faced the truth about himself and his relationship with God. And he knew he needed to change. And he was ready to change. So now, let's look at the sentencing. Acts 9:6. Hear what God says. Hear what Jesus says. He says, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. And then in Acts 9:16, I will show him how much he must suffer by my name. Okay, here we go. So I was busted, arraigned, convicted. Mm-hmm. And now he's facing. I wonder what he was thinking. According to our text, Jesus does not speak not one comforting word to Saul. Saul knows the law very well, and he knows that he is worthy of death. If Jesus really is the Messiah, then Saul was unjustly persecuted and caused the death of many followers of the Messiah. So when Jesus tells Saul to get up and go into Damascus to receive further instruction, for all Saul knows, he is going to go to face some serious consequences. Maybe even death.
Yeah.
Now, in one sense, Saul does receive the death penalty. You see, Jesus wants to give him life. But it will require Saul to die to himself and to sin. Several years later in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul writes, I die daily. Also in Colossians 3:3-6, Paul writes these words, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he calls the thing a thing. He calls it out. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. So, in order to receive the life of Christ, Saul is sentenced to death on a daily basis. And again, this does not only apply to Saul, but it applies to each and every one of us.
Yes, it does.
If we don't keep that old sin man dead, then the life of Christ will not have its effect in us. In light of this, we need to do what Colossians 3:5 says. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature.
Yes.
Why death?
Yeah.
Well, it's because anyone who has died in Christ has been freed from sin. That's why. You don't believe me? Go look at Romans 6:7.
Amen.
Now, Saul was not only sentenced to death, however. He is also sentenced to life in the service of Christ. This is not actually punishment, nor does Christian service provide for our forgiveness or salvation. Here is how Paul speaks of the ministry God has called him to. I thank Jesus Christ. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considers me faithful, appointing me to his service. 1 Timothy 1:12.
Yes, Lord.
You see, Saul, who became Paul, now sees himself as a bond servant of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we too are servants of Jesus.
Yes.
As it says in Romans 6:22, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Again, this is not a punishment, but it is a privilege and a responsibility given to us by the Lord God himself. We were not created to serve ourselves, but we were created to serve God and his kingdom. And we serve him out of love and out of gratitude for all he has done for us. And finally, let's look how Paul was forgiven and restored. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 17.
Yeah.
Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And he spent several days with the disciples in Damascus.
Glory to God.
And as he spent 3 days praying and repenting, he had a time to really think about how far he had missed God. He probably felt very guilty and ashamed of the way he fought so hard against God. He may have thought, how will these followers of Jesus ever forgive or accept me? Well, the Lord used Ananias to minister the Lord's healing to Saul. When Ananias came to see him, he said, Brother Saul.
Yeah.
Now, using the word brother with somebody's name may be just a religious thing we do today. You know, it's just a cliche. However, in those days, it was an affectionate term used to describe someone who you were close to and had much in common with. What Saul heard was, I love you and accept you as someone who is valuable to the Lord. I am glad you are a part of the family. After Ananias accepted Saul and touched him, Saul's sight was restored, as something like scales fell from his eyes. Not only was Saul's physical sight restored that day, but also his relationship with God. He probably had started out with a sincere desire to please God. However, at some point, his zeal for God and the Jewish religious system crossed over into hatred of Jesus and all of his followers. Oh, hallelujah. But after he encountered Jesus, God did something wonderful in his life.
Yeah.
He gave him a new heart. And that was a humble heart and a broken heart. The Lord breathed life into the soul of a man who had become hard and distant from God. Hallelujah. He literally arrested him with his love. And as we close, let me say again that God wants to put a stop to all of our old ways of living so that we might experience his true restoration and know the abundance of his love. We see this in Paul's life as he was busted, arraigned, convicted, sentenced, and finally restored. Now, most of us will never be blinded by a light from heaven and have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus in this lifetime like Paul did. However, if he has not already done so, Jesus wants to arrest you by his love. He wants to get a hold of your life and make something wonderful out of it. So I ask you this morning, are you truly sure that you are headed for heaven? Have you truly had your own Damascus experience? Have you been arrested by the love of God? And are you really standing in right relationship with him? Have you allowed the love of God to take hold of you in a way that you are taking hold of your salvation with an unshakable faith? Have you truly stood before God in humility and confessed and repented of your sin, asking God to make you over? Have you taken hold of God's truth in a way that you are constantly letting God know that you are available to serve him and his people in a way, that any way that you can? And when you ask God to bless you, you ask him to bless you indeed, not just for you, but so everyone around you will have everything they need. Are you running to tell the goodness of God? Because the devil is defeated and we already have the victory. Are you, have you been arrested by the love of God? Now I want to speak to anyone here who has not asked Jesus to forgive them and to become the leader of their life. Listen, don't wait until the bottom falls out. Don't wait until you can't cope anymore. You can't do it on your own. You can't fix yourself up. You can't save yourself. If you could have done that, Jesus wouldn't have had to come down here. Listen. Listen to me now. You have been chosen for a better life. Now, when I say a better life, that does not promise, that I'm not promising that it will be an easy life. And Jesus isn't promising that it'll be an easy life. But it is what you were created for. We all were created to have a close relationship with God our Father through Jesus his Son. And if you will just simply confess your sins to the Lord and let him be the leader of your life, God will restore you and give you the life you've always wanted. If you are ready to do that, hallelujah, I'm going to allow you to do that just a moment. But maybe there's someone else here who has asked Jesus to forgive them, but you haven't really let him lead your life because you still want to be in control. I beseech you this morning to please, please, just scoot on over and let Jesus start doing the driving. Are you willing to decide today to die to yourself and let Jesus take control? If so, you need to go tell him. You need to take some time to talk to the Lord and give him permission to take control of that which is rightfully his, your life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So right now, I just pray, hallelujah, that God just has, I have said something this morning that will has blessed you. Hallelujah. Something that has truly, truly encouraged you this morning. Hallelujah. We can be arrested by the love of God. We have a Savior that loves us, who wants us to put aside everything that will separate us from him. So as I've said, right now, if you do not know the Lord in the pardon of your sin, I am going to ask that Bishop Lester Carver come forth and lead you in that process. Bishop Carver.
Pastor Cook. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for you giving someone who does not yet know you the desire to turn away from serving sin right now, God. Father, allow them to intentionally repent and turn away from serving sin and head toward relationship with you. Father, I thank you for you giving that same person the desire to be water baptized in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the remission of their sins. And God, I thank you for you giving that same person the ability and the desire to call on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for you giving that same person the desire to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, their Master.
Yeah.
I thank you for you giving that same person the desire and understanding to believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die for their sins and be raised by him after 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And I thank you for you giving that same person the desire to believe, to speak in tongues, and to believe, to prophesy. I thank you for this right now so that they can know that they know that they know that they are saved.
Yes,
I thank you for them to laborers who can disciple them and allow them to become disciplined followers of you so that they can come into a fullness of a relationship and live and manifest the more than abundant life.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for you preparing them to produce fruit and to preparing them to mature so that they can produce exceedingly much fruit as they grow in relationship with you over time as a result of starting in their heart and mind right now. Father, I thank you for your spirit filling them and for you directing them to those who can lay hands on them so that they can then manifest the fullness of the power of that spirit in their life. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Bishop. And I know that it was powerful, and I know that it was active. And as you listen to Bishop pray that prayer, I pray that you were moved to just confess your sin. See, there is not a big drawn-out process when you call on the name of the Lord. All you need to do is call on him and ask him to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness and teach you his ways by the power of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we have a lot of beautiful saints in the sanctuary this morning. So if you are in the sanctuary and you would like to put your praise on it this morning, I am going to give you that opportunity. If you would kindly press your 1, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number, and that will let everybody know, hallelujah, that you too are now in the worship service. If you have a prayer request or you just want to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and arresting me with your love, please press your 1 right now. Hallelujah and glory to God. We just want to thank God for all of you that are here this morning. We want to thank you for all of you that are in the chat room. I want to praise God for all the mighty servant leaders that are in the house, whether they spoke or whether they didn't. I just praise God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. So if there be nothing else, we're going to ask Mother Mitchell to bring us a benediction, and I will indeed dismiss you so that you can go out and continue to have a beautiful and blessed day. Mother Mitchell?
Praise God. Thank you, Apostle. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience with myself, Apostle Shalene Cook, Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Minister Tina Brown. So from all of us, and Minister Gladys McGee. So from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Experience, Praise and Worship Experience, we pray that you have a beautiful and blessed week. And we invite you to continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. I think we're going to have a ride. You know, my interest is peaked, and we're going to have an awesome time tomorrow night with Pastor Vanessa and Bishop Lester Carver. as we listen to our episode of God's Great Love for Us. So I'm excited, and I pray that you all will show up and join us, hallelujah, and receive a Rhema word. And then on Tuesday night, Bishop Lester is back again, hallelujah, at 11 p.m. Eastern time with his Tuesday night teachings. And this Wednesday, you can join us, hallelujah, for Daughters of Naomi. This is where the sisters sit, and we talk and we teach our younger women and some of our older women, too, how to truly be holy and virtuous in a time such as this. And then on Thursday, we have Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver. And then on Friday, oh, hallelujah,
amen.
Friday, we are going to have a very special, every man standing in his place, because we, the Spirit Alive family, will be honoring all the mighty men of Spirit Alive. We are going to just come out and love on them and praise God for them. And we just want them to know how much we appreciate them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We just want, so we're going to come out and bless our men and just let you get to know who they are. So as you listen to the programs, you will know you'll get a feel for who you're listening to, because we have many countries joining and many people, new listeners every day. And I just want you to make sure that you know the Anointed Brothers on the Spirit Alive Network. So we just praise God for all of you. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Now go in peace. You are dismissed. God bless you all. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Hallelujah. You are dismissed. Have a beautiful and blessed day. Spirit of Life, Praise and Worship Experience family, you were phenomenal. I love you all. God bless you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I love you.
We love you.
Come
too.
Again.
We love having you.
God bless you. We
love
enjoy
you.
Having you.
Bye.
God bless you all.
God bless.
Love you, Sister Michelle.
God bless everybody. We love you. Indeed.
Love you all.